Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Wednesday hump day. It's 4:30. And that means it is time for Broad Appeal, where we talk to female elected officials, candidates, and other female political leaders from across the state about what they're doing to help us all have healthier communities everywhere in the state of Wisconsin. We've got one such amazing broad, and again, I use that word with deep reverential respect. I mean it with love and lift. Her name is Sally Flores. She is a DACA recipient and the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. We often have our good friend Nick Ramos on. So it's such a pleasure to have you on, Sally, and to talk about these incredible, important work of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition and how folks can get directly involved. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Earlier, I accidentally told someone I'm going to be on Broad City, and they were so excited. They were like, "This show?" I was like, no, sorry, Broad Appeal. So I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Broad City, here we come with some snacks up for sure. I really appreciate you being here. So Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition is having local, basically like listening session hearings, if you will, about trying to work towards independent redistricting. Tell us about this and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so for the last, 2 years, a group of dedicated women through the League of Women Voters statewide, the redistricting committee there, consulted with experts from all over the nation. Simone Leeper from Campaign Legal Center, Katie Fahey, Executive Director of the People. So just amazing broads, amazing women who were doing this work nationally. And we studied for, almost 2 years, what should go into an independent redistricting commission in Wisconsin? What should the Wisconsin model be? And we feel like we might be ready for, this is a draft proposal. This hasn't, gone anywhere else besides our Zoom rooms and our and Google Docs and Word Docs and PDFs. And so we're bringing it out into the light. And so we are doing that by hosting community hearings. We just had our first one in Whitefish Bay on the 28th. We have one in Dodgeville the 13th. We have one in Green Bay on the 16th. And we have one in Wausau on the 17th. These are all co-hosted by the League of Women Voters and other amazing partners. And our goal is to receive feedback on what should go on an independent redistricting proposal.
Sally, let's just set a baseline for folks. When we say independent redistricting, what is that and how is it a change from the way things work right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, thanks for bringing me back to the ground. I've been in the air for so long. So an IRC is just a citizen-led and it's distinct from the legislature. It's not controlled by representatives of any political party. And it's crafted and created for the purpose of drawing state legislative and congressional district lines away from any political party. This allows the IRC to have authority to draw and consider and propose maps to the legislature for enactment. That doesn't mean that legislative officials can't propose their own maps. It just means that they need to conform with redistricting criteria that includes all of Wisconsin, that includes all of the people that reflect our beautiful state.
It's so important. And I was with Milwaukee County as their general counsel in 2020 and going into 2021, where Milwaukee County tried the first ever in the county independent redistricting committee. Now, there are different ways of doing this. Michigan is often held up as a really extraordinary example of that. The county's independent redistricting for Milwaukee was done with a panel of retired judges, but other redistricting committees include citizens and other folks that haven't in many ways served officially or formally in an elected or other office. That's what you're proposing. That's what the Fair Maps Coalition is pushing, is for actual citizen involvement as well as subject matter experts. This is super complicated. It requires geocoded maps and all kinds of stuff. But so with the support of experts, but to have citizens directly involved in that redistricting process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and doing this work because, we know our communities best. We know where every pothole is in the city. Yes. We know whether to, you know, swerve left or right. Like, we literally do know these roads and we know our people best. And what better way than to give this power back to the people? There's a quote in Spanish that says, el pueblo salva al pueblo, which basically means people save the people. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
And that's where we're at, I think, very broadly, is people standing up to save the people. So, folks, if you want to hear and join some of these redistricting hearings, independent redistricting committee hearings sponsored by the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, we're going to put the website that has all of those upcoming events, the link to that so you can RSVP and attend. We'll put that in our show notes. Remember, you can find our shows podcasted and these show notes that have all kinds of resources for you on Spotify, Apple Pods, and, of course, at civicmedia.us. Let's talk about this idea of people standing up for people, because what I have been witnessing since Donald Trump has taken office for the second time around is people starting to stand up for people and folks that are immigrants that may be here undocumented, that folks that are citizens standing up for those people shoulder to shoulder, because we have to understand that if we don't stand up for basic human dignity and the civil rights that are guaranteed under this Constitution to every person, not restricted to citizens, that all of our rights are under threat. You, Sally, have an incredibly unique perspective. For folks that may not remember what DACA is, let's start there. This was an Obama-era program. Tell people what DACA is.
Yeah, so DACA worked for about 4 years before Donald Trump, during his first term, shut it down, and then Biden never reinstated it. So there was only about a four-year window for 800,000 people to apply to this executive order, which to me, it's just a Netflix subscription to the U.S. I have to pay it every 2 years. And I did the math. And so we're paying about $428 million to the Department of Homeland Security and USCIS every time we reapply every 2 years, if all collectively we apply at the same time. And it's just it's a ridiculous amount of money. And We can't leave the country. We have to pay our taxes. This only allows us a driver's license. And in some states like Texas, it's being taken away. So you can't even apply to work anymore with DACA. It's just giving you a driver's license. And it really doesn't keep us safe from deportation, because when we fill out the application, one of the questions is like, are you okay with being deported? Like, we have no choice but to like just say yes if we want this quote unquote work permit that just allows us to subscribe to the U.S. every 2 years. And so it was, unfortunately, then there were no new applicants accepted under Trump. Biden never instated new applicants as well. And now under the current Trump regime, they're trying to get rid of it as well. It's sitting in the courts somewhere. I couldn't even tell you. It's always been in the courts since its inception. So it's been a lot of back and forth battles. And we just recently celebrated the 13th year anniversary of DACA and what that means. And there are 7,000 DACA recipients in the state of Wisconsin. You know, you can't quote me because it's not a census and we can't figure that out all the way. But mathematically speaking, there are more students graduating high school that are undocumented now than ever before, because they no longer qualify for this program. So really, a lot of us are no longer dreamers. A lot of us are no longer students. We're working, we're directors in positions of power and trying to do better. And we're just constantly paying to this subscription to the US and hoping that if they end the program, that at least whatever I paid into Social Security will go to the people.
Folks, that is Sally Flores. She herself is a DACA recipient, a dreamer, if you will, began in that program as a young person, as a student, and now helps lead as the organizing director of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. So to be really clear here, Sally, our guest this afternoon, is fighting for your right to be heard fairly in our voting system while she herself cannot benefit from that very system, while she and every other dreamer pays in hundreds of millions of dollars in fees and taxes into our government every year. You recently were the recipient of the Emerging Leader Award at the fourth, excuse me, annual Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, which, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. It is an incredible organization. You gave some remarks there where you shared that you recently went home to see your folks in Mexico and that you're basically anticipating not being able to see either of your parents, at least for the next 4 years. Can you tell us a little bit about what these last 9 months have been like for you, Sully, as you've watched Donald Trump use some of the most horrifying racist language, secure himself a second term, and now deploy the military in American cities for the right to disappear people in the middle of the night without the due process guaranteed to all persons by our Constitution?
Yeah, so I sprung into action. I think my parents self-deported in 2018 during the first Trump era, and I hadn't seen them, and I hadn't spent Christmas back home or New Year's in 22 years. And so, I mean, if you any of you want to join my parents in their land, they'll pick you up from the airport, we'll travel 4 hours away, and the smell, the sounds, everything just feels free. So I was able to feel free for the first time in so long. And the most beautiful sunsets over the most beautiful pine trees, it's just unbelievable. And it almost feels like a dream that I was there. And it also feels like a dream that's been taken away from me all over again. I reapplied for advanced parole because I got hired to be a program assistant for the University of Arizona, who's doing international studies. And although I was hired, I have to apply to USCIS, pay a fee to go to Mexico, and I haven't been approved. And tomorrow's the deadline. And if I don't get approved by tomorrow by USCIS, then I won't be able to go to Mexico anytime soon. And so I'm knowing that that's my reality. I realize that they've taken everything away from me, that they've took away my fear. And so I just hit the streets, and I joined a group called Comité Sin Fronteras, where we host verifier trainings, MigraWatch verifier trainings. So anybody in Milwaukee that wants to be trained on how to verify ICE presence, how to call it in, how to help somebody locate their family once they get picked up, we're offering these trainings the first and the third Saturday of every month at the Voces de la Frontera office on 7th and Mitchell. We've trained 150 people to become verifiers in Milwaukee. We've gotten 130 calls in the month of June alone for ICE verification. We were able to find the man that was actually framed and that was told he threatened the president, and we found that that was false.
Yes.
And so we're doing great work.
We covered that here on Civic Media. Folks, that is Sully Flores. She's the organizing director of Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. She fights for your right to be heard in our government, though she does not enjoy that right herself. We're going to talk about the emotional journey and how you conquer your fear, how you get activated, because that's what we all have to do. It is by and of and for the people. This great conversation continues on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.